And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's totally terrific, totally transforming, and totally triumphant Tuesday as we find unity from the Father, through the Son, and by the Holy Spirit, all for the glory of God Almighty. First, in Galatians 2:17, Paul raises a question that many of you have asked me. What happens if we have faith in Christ but still struggle with sin? Paul first emphasizes that it is not Christ's fault for our ongoing struggles. Next, and furthermore, Paul reminds us that when we realize we still have sin, listen to this, this is huge, we often try to rebuild our righteousness. But based on the old system, which was ineffective in the beginning. So when we attempt to reconstruct the old system, we certainly cannot blame Jesus for the shortcomings. And then finally, a classic verse in the New Testament is when Paul states, I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. This means that it is Jesus within him who accomplishes righteousness, and he must trust in the Son of God for his entire existence. Any other approach disregards the meaning of God's grace. If we adapt such an approach, it implies an approach that says we can do this by works. It implies that Jesus did not need to die for us in the first place. It's a harsh reality to be confronted, realizing that when we take that attitude, we are undermining the very purposes of God's sacrifice.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations, spiritual observations. My life's insanities, and oy vey, so much more. Hey. We're asking you, what do you think? Now, you can email us during the show, as long as my Chromebook works. David@hemusincrease.org.
Is the light still coming on?
The light is still on.
Great.
Praise the Lord. David@hemusincrease.org. You can text us, 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Or you can call us, 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. And when you make that phone call to 972-445-0770, you won't be shocked, but you will end up talking to Dynamite D.
Hello, lucky person. You got the number right, because you are talking to Kid a Dynamite.
All right, D, now remember how I told you about the refrigerator yesterday, right? So here's this. Talking to Dynamite D is like having your ice maker work again.
That is a blessing.
See, when the fridge doesn't work and this isn't working, then that, you know, it all falls apart.
I granted you took a little ice water for granted.
A little bit. Now I'm very, very, very appreciative. Water, it's what's happening. I mean, right. So anyway, talking to him, that's what that's like. Here's the deal on this whole thing. I just want to make sure you guys kind of catch this whole thing. You can call us up and it can be a prayer request and we will bring it before the Lord together in prayer. You want to know why? Because we believe God answers prayers. People are like, does he answer every prayer? Well, I've been around for a little while and I've prayed tens of thousands of prayers and my answer would be no. But does he answer prayer? Yes. So therein lies a big difference. Number two, if you got something to share, something the Lord's blessed you with, touched you in, helped you in, strengthened you in, great. You can share that by reaching out to us on either the phone or by text or even by email, or even if you go to the website, you can do it there as well, and you can fill out some information. But the idea here is to strengthen one another, take this hour, hour and a half in our lives to go, let's get one step closer to the Lord. Let's be strengthened in the Lord. Let's not let all the news that we hear and all the things that are surrounding us suffocate us or destroy our faith. Instead, let's rise above it and walk in faith the way Jesus intended us to. And so that's a big part of everything we do. Plus, we do this trivia thing. I don't know if you know that or not. And here's our trivia question. In the days of Samuel the prophet, so we already talked about Sammy's mom. In the days of Samuel the prophet, what nation captured the Ark of the Covenant away from Israel? For Samuel 4, 10 and 11, if you're looking for a biblical reference, there is a nation that did that. Hell, striking quickly and strong. I do want to point out that Deb did bring up, we do have a new fill on the cowpunch people. I don't know if you heard that. So it's got that cowboy can.
A little cowboy sound.
Yeah, yep. So we're going to play that for a little while. The kids came up with that on their own, which I think is pretty good. I don't think it's as good as our commercial, but we're getting them a chance. So we'll run that for this week, and then we'll run the other ones next week, and we'll run them back and forth, back and forth. But then if you need something on a website, you reach out to cowpunchsites.com, and then if you tell them I sent you there and they do something wrong, they'll be really afraid. Yeah, that's... That's kind of how that rolls. Anyway, here is the trivia question. In the days of Samuel the prophet. So in the very beginning, okay, days of Samuel the prophet, what nation captured the Ark of the Covenant, right? They took the Ark of the Covenant. This is with a story where this same nation has to, you know, send it back, and they have to make these gold mice, and they got stricken. I'll just say it because it says it in the King James. They got stricken in the hinder parts because the Lord was mad at this nation. What was that nation? And you should know because it has a very close association to a very large guy. Okay, that ought to help you. I just can't give you any more than that. I just gave you the farm. I can't give you the tools. With the farm. You got to work the farm. 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483 or send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. Once again, we're going into scripture that is way past me. Somebody is calling. We'll give them a chance to answer. And again, we're about to get into this passage that in Galatians that is just lights out, super, super, super good. And by grace, we will understand what it is that Paul is communicating by grace. I mean, that's all I can do is pray by grace that the Lord will help us understand what's going on. So we do have somebody who's answering the triv question. We'll see if they want to answer it. They do. Let's send them on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hey, David. It's Jay. How are you, brother?
I'm doing pretty good, Jay. How you doing?
I'm hot. if it wasn't for the breeze, it would...
I'm hot. That's
it would be very hot out here. Yeah. I started to say something else, but I wouldn't say that on the line because, as you say, it's a family show.
Yeah, it's warm out there, huh?
It is. It's warm. In Texas, it's warm, yeah.
Even for Texas. All right, my friend, here we go. Straightforward on the question, which I have a lot of confidence in you for. What nation, what group captured the Ark of the Covenant? Go ahead.
You gave so many hints, I just have to go with Babylon.
Okay, but if you were thinking about a really tall guy, really big, 9 foot and taller.
Philistine.
That is it!
Sorry, you said real tall, and I was thinking the Tower of Babel.
Yeah, real tall guy, like, you know, Goliath.
Yeah,
you know, like really
like Goliath.
Philistine. So it was the Philistines that had captured the Ark, and I love that story for multiple reasons, not the least of which, and I know people don't appreciate it, but you know, this is where the Lord smote them in the hinder parts because they took the covenant. And you can come up with all the stuff you want, but there is actually a Bible translation that I'm not even kidding you. There's a Bible translation that states that God smote them with hemorrhoids. I don't know if that's accurate or not, but that's what it says in that translation. It's an interesting approach to it.
That would definitely hinder you, wouldn't it?
That's right. And wait. And the reason that they made five rats, some people say that's because it was the plague, but other people say, nope, it's because all those Philistine leaders were rats.
There you go. Who is the guy? You dirty rat. Yeah.
I love that. Excellent job, my brother. And people are praying for you, my brother. Did you know that?
Me too. You know, I'm praying for your list as well. I've added your list to mine, and I'll tell you what, giving me more time to talk to the Lord with an honest, open heart, it makes the hard things easier, and I appreciate you, all of the people that you pray for, all of the people that call in and ask for prayers, because they give people like me something else to talk to the Lord about, and it's so beautiful.
Yeah.
So I thank you for inviting that out of people that call your show.
You got it, man. And it's our privilege to be your brother, to be your sister, and to be a part of the warfare and the blessings and the prevailings with you. So you guys got to be praying for Jay. He needs a couple of breaks. He needs things to fall his way, and that's what we're asking God in the name of Jesus for favor to fall upon him.
Oh, thank you, Dave. Love you. Gonna be listening.
All right. So. God bless you, bro.
All right.
Bye bye. Okay, let's get into the text. All right, I do have some time, so I want to get into the text. So we are at Galatians. I'm pretty sure it's 17. It should be 17 or so in that range, okay? It says this in 17. But we seek to be made right with God through faith in Christ. But if we seek to be made right with God in faith in Christ and then find out we are still sinners, has Christ led us into sin? Of course not. Rather, I make myself guilty if I rebuild the old system I already tore down. So let me just get into this real quickly. He raises a question that a lot of people ask, and that is, what happens if we have faith in Christ, but we still struggle with sin? Let me just point this out to you. This passage directly speaks to that. So for those that are saying, well, once you're a Christian, you don't sin ever, you don't habitually sin like you did before you became a Christian. But that doesn't mean you don't struggle with sin, and it doesn't mean you never sin, which is why if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So right here in the question that's being asked is like, but what if we seek to be made right with God through faith in Christ and then find out we're still sinners? In other words, we're still messing up. That should tell you right then and there, guess what? This happens. Stop thinking you're unique because sin has entered into the picture. Judicially, you have been saved. The penalty has been paid. That's justification, the penalty of sin. Practically, you are being made to look like Jesus Christ. That's sanctification. That's you overcoming sin by sin, glory by glory, reflecting the image of Jesus. That's current. One's past, one's current. In the future, it'll be glorification. We'll be removed from the presence of sin. There'll be no evil. Nothing will be there. That will be what, that's what we're looking forward to. Never a structure, never an issue. But right here, he's saying, well, what happens if I'm trying to be right with God through faith in Christ, and then I find out we're still sinners? Is that Jesus' fault? No. It's not genius here. It's like, no, it's not. I'm rebuilding the old system I tore down when I tried to keep the law. I realized I could never earn God's approval. So I died to the law so I might live to God. Here's what happens, and I'm just going to make this, this will help you so much. You become a Christian. You accept justification, redemption through the blood of Jesus Christ. You are saved. And then as you move along, you find out as you are getting closer to God, hey, there's a lot more sin in me than I thought. And as you discover that there's more sin in you, guess what you do? You try to, by the law, get yourself more right. That doesn't work. It didn't work the first time. It's not going to work now that you're saved. What you have to do is rely that much more on the grace and the mercy, on the justification that was brought to you through Jesus Christ. Instead of running back to an old system to try and make it right because you realize you're messing up, your job is to depend even more on the grace that God showed you that you received by faith through the redeeming work of Jesus Christ. It's almost like the exact opposite. What we're trying to do is we're trying to build back our righteousness by doing good things. It's like, it is good to do good things, but that won't make you righteous. Only the redeeming work of Christ will make you righteous, because you'll never do enough good things. Period. At God's level, you can't shoot 98% and get in. You're either 100% or you're not in his league. That's why we depend on Jesus for the 100%. You understand? That's that struggle and that's that shift. So instead of trying to rebuild a righteousness on our own, we are required to be more dependent on the Lord and on his grace and mercy. For guess what? It's grace by which you stand and nothing else. Oh, okay. Well, that'll solve that. Yeah, it should. All right, we'll take our break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Can't stand the skill, can't stand the shame.
This KAAM radio show with your very own David Spoon is not a business, but a nonprofit ministry first and foremost committed to sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ and strategically equipping the saints. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Christian believers, the hurting, and those not yet believers who need biblical truths. To continue our radio ministry and message of truth, we need many of our faithful listeners to support us, as well as ministry partners who might wish to sponsor the He Must Increase ministry. By giving, you wonderfully facilitate our priorities of assertively teaching the Word of God, and you get nothing in return. No quid pro quo. Nothing but a receipt at the end of the year indicating you gave to us, since your donation is 100% tax deductible. Remember that it says in Corinthians that whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Or in Proverbs, where it teaches that a generous person will prosper, whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. But if you cannot give, no problem. Continue to enjoy and learn and give however you see fit whenever you can. To support us, go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. Such support is terribly appreciated, knowing it enables our beloved David Spoon to give to all of us his time, energy, like so few can. Right here on KAAM.
What is the David Spoon Experience, you say? I'll put it to you like this. Do you love a good joke that's pretty bad?
What do you call an animal that doesn't practice what it preaches? A hippocritopotamus. Come on.
Do you love being able to ask questions, comments, or having someone to pray for you?
If you have an opinion, a comment, a thought, or a question, we don't want it to die of loneliness. We want it to have a chance.
And last but not least, do you love some trivia?
All right, we got our trivia question. Who made clothes out of leaves that were sewed together? Somebody want to answer the trivia question? Oh, okay, hold on. Here we go. This is David. Who am I talking to?
We're talking to Mary.
This is Al.
This is Brother Ace.
This is Eric.
This is Deborah.
Now, if that doesn't make you curious, maybe you should tune in and check it out for yourself.
Think of me as the big brother that won't go away.
That's me.
Tune in to the David Spoon Experience weekdays at 1:30 p.m. on 770 KAAM.
We happen to be people who are able to, you know, go with the Lord while the flow is going, while the river is going, while the joy is going, and then something comes in the way like a pebble, like a pebble, and then we trip and we're like, ay, 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 and we don't know what we're doing. Here's the key. You're never going to be good enough. You're never going to be this superhuman, beyond capacity, exactly like Jesus in everything you say or do in each moment. That's not happening.
The David Spoon Experience.
Sometimes
welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas, where I'm glad that you are listening to KAAM, because it is indeed an excellent radio station. And I do say that with bias and without bias. Both. Ha! How about them apples? If you like apples, that was pretty good. All right, here's your next triv question. Let's see if we can get it going. This is really easy. I think you guys will get this. Who was the first king that Samuel anointed? Who was the first king that Samuel anointed? Don't try and find hidden meaning. Straightforward. If you're trying to find hidden meaning, you're going to make a mistake. The number to call, 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483. As well, you can send an email, david@hemusincrease.org. And unfortunately for most of you, I do have jokes. I know. You guys thinking, do you ever get tired of that? No. Wait, let me answer you again so you can know. Ready? No, I don't get tired of it. It's part of the fun about doing radio. I know everything should be perfect and serious and everything. You know, the problem that I have with some Christian stations is like, you know, even Jesus slept. Anyway, I'm just pointing that out. So somebody is calling in. They're ready to answer trivia questions. So we'll do that trivia question first. Then we'll go to the jokes. Then we'll finish the rest of the text. Send the person on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Well, hi, David. This is Deborah.
Hi, Deborah. Great to hear from you. How are you?
I am so blessed by the best.
I love it. I love it. I love that you are blessed. I love, love, love that you are blessed. All right. Not a tough question, but a good question. Who was the first king that Samuel anointed?
Was it Saul?
That is correct, Amanda! You are correct. Then he anointed David, but first it was Saul, and shows you that always the first choice always is not the best choice. Excellent job. Very, very good, and awesome to hear from you.
So, thank you, and I hope y'all have a blessed afternoon.
Thank you. You too. God bless you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, here we go. Ready? All right. Two of these are... okay, three of these are really good. Okay, here's the first okay one. Why did the giraffe graduate early? Why did the giraffe, yes, they're all animal jokes. Why did the giraffe graduate early? He was head and shoulders above the rest.
Amazing.
That's not bad. This is a good one. Where do polar bears vote? Where do polar bears vote? The North Pole. Come on! What did Winnie the Pooh pack for his vacation? The bear essentials.
Help me, Jesus!
Okay. How did the owl with laryngitis feel? He didn't give a hoot. Okay, and then finally, what does an educated owl say?
Whom? Whom?
Instead of who, it's whom. See, because
you need to grow up.
Okay. It's like never going to happen. All right, let's get back to the text. Okay, here we go. All right, so I want to finish up on this because the next portion is just like lights out, cool, but I want you to catch this. So in verse 19, Paul's like, for when I tried to keep the law, I realized I can never earn God's approval, so I died to the law so I might live for God. Let me explain something to you. It's not that you don't try to operate in the things the Lord sets before you. But the Lord gave a summation of the law and then gave one that was much tougher, of course, and that is the new command he gave us to love one another as Christ loved us, which is substantially stronger than as we love our neighbor. I mean, that's substantially stronger, just so you can be aware of that. And so the idea is to operate in that law versus in that truth or in that command versus trying to keep the 613 or 619, depending on whether you're from the East Coast or the West Coast, commands of Moses' law. So the premise here is that, look, it's not that it's wrong to do right things. Dee and I were talking in the off time. It's like, look, when you give somebody a glass of water in the name of Jesus Christ, that's right. When you take care of people, that's right. But you do that as a result of your salvation, not to get your salvation. You do that because Jesus loved you, not to get Jesus to love you. See that difference? And so what we've got to do is change the order of procession. So I tried to teach this on Friday. It didn't work out, so I'm going to teach it again in like a little bit. But the order of procession has to do with things follow certain things. The Father sends the Son sends the Holy Spirit. Okay? So what you need to understand about that is there's a procession order in this salvation process. You get saved, and because you're saved, you do, because the salvation is in you. You don't do to get the salvation. You do because you did get the salvation. And so when people are trying to get it right with God, sometimes they'll do this. So you come across, you make this decision, you hear about Jesus Christ, you hear about the grace, even if you've been going to church and you say, you know, I accept Jesus Christ in my heart by faith, and then it's by faith that you get saved. Your heart believes, your mouth confesses, so your heart and your mouth are working together. It's awesome. But then when you've come into some tougher territory, you don't revert somewhere else. That's going backwards. You can't revert to law. This is the entire premise of this letter. And you know where we're at. We're at 2:17. We're getting ready to go to chapter 3:1 in Galatians. That's when he calls them fools. Oh, you're not supposed to call anybody a fool. Wrong version of the word fool. But that's not the point. The point is simply this. He's about ready to call them fools. Because why? Because they're trying to make it right from something that never made them right. That doesn't work. You can't do that. So he's like, look, I tried to keep liars. I could never earn God's approval. It's not that God doesn't want you to operate in that way, but that's not what gets you saved. It's the redeeming work of Jesus Christ. And as soon as you take your eyes off of that, then you're falling away from grace. Exactly what the Hebrews author talks about, exactly what the other authors talk about, Paul talks about. You've got to maintain, which is why, by the way, we're supposed to grow in grace, because grace is positional and it's situational. And so if it's situational, positional, you're not going to grow in your grace position, but you're going to grow in your grace situation. And so you need to access, grow, stand firmly in that grace. Be immovable. I know you've done dumb things, so have I. But that's not bigger than the love that God has for you. So stop building a monument to your failures and only have one monument in your heart, and that's to the Lord God Almighty. And everything else is like, meh, whatever. If God be for us, who can be against us? Then who cares? I love that little add-on. All right, we'll take a break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere. Here we go. Let me give you an update on Easton Scott. A lot of tough stuff that my daughter and my son-in-law have been going through. I did send an email out. I don't know if, Julie, if you got the email
or not.
I did send it out to everybody. So he was going through 20 and 30 seizures per episode, and they've got that down to a dramatically less amount. But the sad news is that from a medical point of view, Easton does not appear, as according to the doctors, that he will be able to speak or will be able to care for himself. And so what the result of that is that Julianne and Jared, my son-in-law and my daughter, have recognized that God has put them in a position to be the best parents, to love Easton Scott with all that they can and give him the best life that they can. But while that's going on, they're not going to stop believing that something can change. And the doctors even said, this is territory we don't even know.
Right, because this is a problem that not very many people have had. So
very few.
Everybody is different.
Yeah, and they have like 230 total cases in the world that they have records on, which is like, so they're like, we don't know.
Right.
And it's like, so I just want to read this one thing my daughter wrote. It's a fantastic. She wrote this, you know, it's not easy to sit there and write a Facebook post that tells all the things you've been going through. And so I'm not going to read everything, but I'm going to read the last paragraph because I thought that was really significant. She wrote, scientifically, Easton does not have much of a chance. His best case scenario is he may possibly be able to walk and say 3 to 5 words one day. But God can help him. He's not afraid of impossible odds. And if Easton is healed one day, there will be no question as to where it comes from. It will not be because of therapy. And it will not be because of medication or diet. It will be because of God's undeniable healing power. So in the meantime, we choose to raise a hallelujah and trust in God. Ladies and gentlemen, that is faith. Now, the idea that it's going to be simple and everything's going to be great and they're trying to make pie in the sky, that doesn't exist at all. If you read this, and I think Wonder Julie can attest to it, she tells you this is ugly.
Right.
This is not a good situation. It's going to change our lives. He's never going to be able to be unattended. It doesn't look good. And, you know, as a parent, you're heartbroken. They have two other children. They don't want to have any loss in their communication with their kids, but they're going to have to give extra attention. They were going to have a fourth child. They're not sure they're going to do that now. So you got a lot of things in play. But what you can't deny is that I won't take credit, but I'll stand in there as a grandparent and as a parent and say, what a fantastic position of faith that my daughter has grown into. She has made the determination that she will do the best that she can as a human being to give this child the best life she can, and she will not quit hoping. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Actually, D just asked me about that because he was listening to the Phil. And I should actually give you an update. I wasn't going to, but now I feel like, yeah, I should probably do that. And that is for Julianne and Jared. Okay, so you know they already had another child. Even though that's an outdated one, I like it because it's a very strong, encouraging Phil. But what they need prayer for right now, just so you guys can be praying, is they need the person that used to help them is not helping them. They had somebody come in and take their place, and that didn't work out very good. So we need a human angel from God, unless the Lord wants to send an actual angel from heaven, which is fine by me, and to help them in their situation. They're doing great, but they've got that as a challenge. New baby is doing great. Anna is fantastic. She is her own little... She's apparently her own little comedian show. So I don't know where she gets any.
I was just about to say, I wonder where she gets that from.
She doesn't get that from me, according to my daughter. Anyway, we'll just leave that there. All right, here we go. All right, very tough trivia question. Very hard. After Samuel died. Okay, Samuel, prophet, died. What did Saul do to try and contact him after he died? This is in 1 Samuel chapter 28. If you think you know the answer, 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483. As well, you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. I am going to send you up to the website to remind you about two things. Don't forget about the prayer and praise form you can fill out on the website if you need prayer. Or if you need want to share a praise, I did get a prayer request yesterday. I get every one of them. Don't ever think I don't get them. And we pray about them every time and continue to pray until I get some kind of response. The only thing that drives me nuts is, you know, you pray for somebody a year ago and nobody tells you. So keep people, you know, updated. And then the other thing is the money, a chance to give. We love that opportunity. Here's what the passage is, 2 Corinthians 8:3. For I testify that according to their ability and beyond their ability, they gave of their own accord. That's what we're looking for. Please check it all out on hemustincrease.org.
Prayer request?
hemustincrease.org.
Praise report?
HeMustIncrease.org.
Looking to give to this ministry?
HeMustIncrease.org.
Confused by what's happening right now?
HeMustIncrease.org.
HeMustIncrease.org.
There you go. That's me playing the drums. Oh, yeah. Do you like how I did that?
It always it gets you when it starts playing. I get the banging. Yeah, like, and yeah. I have a drum.
You start doing that, and then it ends. Like, wait a minute. All right. Let's see. We'll do history in the next segment. Give us a chance a little bit of a break. Trivia question. After Samuel died. Okay, so Samuel's dead. How did Saul try and contact him, though, after he died? 1 Samuel 28, your place to locate that. If you think you know, 972-445-0770. You can also text 214-210-8483 or send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. Please be praying for the audience as we ask you on a regular basis. Plus this thing that I've really been working on, talking with people out, and so I just want to kind of bring it up to all you, and that is be aware of the enemy trying to ensnare you in fear. There is a lot of that going on, not just from people we know, but in the world. You think, well, how do you know what's going on in the world? Well, you know, there are actually websites that tell you all the stuff that's going on in the world. I'm just saying, there are, in case you didn't know that. So, I mean, my point in saying all that or bringing that up is, you know, praying that you and those around you would not be caught by fear, any kind of fear. God didn't give you a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and sound mind. The word is sozren in the Greek. It means safe thinking. Okay, so that's how we should be operating. Okay, let's go back into the text. We are in this massively awesome portion, which I think is just, here we go. This is just like, Galatians 2:20 is like, you know, it's like a Hebrews 13:8. It's just like, it's such a good, such an important scripture, like Hebrews 11:6. Here's what it says, verse 20. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. All right. So I don't know if you got the NIV, or is that the NIV D, or do you have the ESV?
Today is the ESV.
And what do you have for Galatians 2:20?
Galatians 2:20 says,
Galatians 2:20.
I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me.
Good enough. Right there. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. So understanding it's no longer I, but Christ who lives in me, this means that it is Jesus within us, Jesus within Paul, Jesus within every Christian who accomplishes the righteousness, and that he and we must trust in the Son of God for our existence. Any other approach, by the way, just in case you're wondering, disregards the meaning of grace. If we adopt an approach, it implies Jesus didn't need to die for us, which is very, very dangerous to say, because then we're insulting God's sacrifice. Let's not do that. That's dumb. It's no longer me. Guess what? As much as David thinks he can do it, I can't do it apart from him. Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. That's stuff for the kingdom. You know that, right? I mean, so, and actually, apart from Jesus, you could do nothing, because without Jesus, you get no breath, and then without breath, you don't have life. But we'll just backtrack to the norm part of this, okay? And that is, look, everything he's talking about is talking about salvation and sin and redemption and righteousness. All the stuff that he's talking about, I don't care what translation you have, I don't care what approach you have, it doesn't matter what your background is. It's pretty straightforward. Look, this is not about me, this is about Jesus in me, or it ain't going to happen. And that is, not only is it not rude, it's awesome. It's like wonderful. We should be like celebrating. I mean, if we had a band here, we'd have them play. Here's the thing that I'm trying to communicate to you. It's about Jesus in us. You know, it's the most amazing thing is he lives in our heart by faith. The Holy Spirit's actually poured into us, and it only costs the actual blood of Jesus Christ. So you just tell me what thing on planet Earth is worth the blood of Jesus. That's what the Lord God Almighty paid for you. That's how important you are. And just so you can know, that blood of Jesus, that value permeates throughout the universe. You know that they don't, you know, the angels and all the principalities and powers and all that stuff out there, they're not unaware, since God shows his wisdom through the church, Ephesians 3:10. So it's like, oh, yeah. And that's what it costs for us. What's probably more insulting, I think, to the Lord is that we think we can do it, or that we accept it and then we try to build on it with a Jesus plus. It's like, you know what? That ain't going to work. There is no Jesus plus. It's Jesus. So just stop. And there's nothing wrong with moving forward and reflecting Jesus. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. We're talking about what the core of it all is. Your sanctification comes about because of the justification that Jesus did for you on your behalf. So it says, I've been crucified with Christ. I myself no longer live, but Christ lives in me. So I live my life on this earthly body. And I love this translation. By trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So I live my life by faith. I live my faith by my life by trusting. I live my life by leaning on him. Instead of leaning on me, you want to listen. Can I ask you a question? Can you just be honest for a minute? Do you want to lean on you? I mean, I got up this morning. I'm just going to be honest. Yeah, I mean, I'm in my 60s. Leave me alone. I got up this morning. It took me probably 45 seconds to see straight, to see clear. I had to get up and put eye drops in my eyes. People are like, well, you need more water. No, that's not the issue. I'm 60, and you open your eyes, you're like going, hey, what is that? I know that's a door. It's like, come on. It's like, listen, I'm not trying to make – you get older, it gets tougher. Don't tell me it does. It's ridiculous. I don't see any 175-year-olds running marathons. Hello. So my point in saying that is that, look, we need the Lord. And so by trusting in him and by depending on him and by living on him in this earthly body, now, right this like me, now, fully going, it's all you. Sometimes I say to the Lord, if it wasn't for you, not only would I not be saved, I probably wouldn't even be alive. I mean, that is true, especially for me. I've faced death a few times, and I don't want to talk about them all. But I have, and it's just like, wowzer. And I'm not making light of it. It's like, I'm just fully like, this is about the Lord. If it ain't about the Lord, we're in trouble. If it's not all about him, and if it's not all about him in us. And that's why when you're fellowshipping with one another, I know there's always a leeriness because you want to be careful and not share with people. But there is this part of us that has to trust the Jesus in one another. And that's important too. That's why I just can't let denominational boundaries be that's not the call. The call from God is to love one another as Christ loved us. That's the witness of the church. That is the command, the new command, by the way. Okay? All right. Okay. Let's see. Did we do our – no, we didn't do the trivia question. Let me answer the trivia question first. After Samuel died, how did Saul try to contact him? And the answer is he went to a witch, the witch in Endor – which, by the way, yes, Endor, yes, the same word that's used in Star Wars, and yes, Star Wars stole it. Thank you. Let's just be honest about it. We'll take our break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
You may be from a Baptist background, a Pentecostal background, a non-denominational background. David Spoon has that too. You may be from the Church of Christ, Presbyterian, Methodist, Church of God, or some other denomination. But if you're looking for a show that's Bible-based, Spirit-led, and a bit nutty, then give David a listen for a while. If you like it, great. If not, no worries. The David Spoon Experience.
The David Spoon Experience.
I'm just telling you the truth. I'm just being honest, right? Because I'll pull from – I'm Jewish. I was trained well, and you pull from multiple directions. It's just one of those things. So I kind of needed to recognize that sometimes I'm obnoxious, and I need to make up for it. And the whole point of me telling you this is sometimes you will do things that doesn't necessarily mean you're wrong, but because you didn't have the right spirit going on when it happened, you need to make up for it. Now, by that, I mean this. So Noel found out yesterday that she had to get up at 4:30 this morning because the president of quote unquote the company was coming in because they were doing a remodel and her section was one of the sections that are being remodeled. So she had to be at work at 6 in order to be there. Okay? All right. So now I'm not in the doghouse or anything. I just, you know, feeling like I could have done better. So you know what I did? And I'm telling you this for a reason. I got up at 5 in the morning, and I sat with her for about a half hour while she was getting ready, right? And I encouraged her because I knew she was really tired. And then she went to work, and I went back to bed for at least an hour and a half until the dog said, that's enough out of you. Get up. You know, that was a whole separate thing. The reason that I bring it up is not because I did something brilliant. That's exactly not the case. In fact, the reason that I had to make it up is because I didn't do something brilliant. But it dawned on me that it is okay, or not okay, but it's probably right for you and I when we're in relationships and we do something that's a little far off, or maybe not as authentically Christian as we generally need to be, that we're allowed to make up for it. And so what I was trying to do was communicate with her, I love you. I'm kind of sorry. Okay, I'm sorry. All right, I'm totally sorry because I'm up at 5 a.m. that I wasn't like nicer about the whole thing. And so whatever happened by getting up at 5 in the morning last night went bye-bye. And my point in making that sharing that with you is simply sometimes we can do things that is a way to say I'm with you without doing a whole bunch, and that will just make some of the dumber things less painful or less dumb. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. We got to roll this along. So here's your trivia question. What king did the prophet Nathan advise? What king did the prophet Nathan advise? If you think you knew, 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483 or send an email, david@hemusincrease.org. I just got a praise report from Aunt Deb. So we have been praying for Blair and Blake and Holly, just her whole family. And so you can know Holly and Blake were the ones that are out of the country, and she brought them back in the country, and then she got this fantastic job opportunity, and he just got a job opening the same week that she's going to be moving there, or that she's got something starting there back at school. And so the Lord just coordinated the whole thing. So big props to the Lord for blessing Aunt Deb and the family, which they have poured out for this ministry as well, and we really appreciate them. So a great, 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 great job. Very, very cool praise report. That is cool. That's good. So you got to pray for them every day. So it's like, that's good because now I get to share in that. And then when I see the kids, I'm going to just drop that on their head. And okay. I'm kidding. All right. Which, that's kind of funny.
Be nice, Dave.
It's like having more kids. Which king did did Prophet Nathan advise? That's your trivia question. In the meantime, we'll do our history. Let's do our history song. All right, we got to go through these relatively fast. Today is National Caviar Day, but I want to point out there's something fishy about that.
Pretty good.
That's not bad. National Sour Candy Day.
Pretty good.
I love sour candy. It's terrible. All the things I shouldn't like, you know, it's like, I like that. Well, I like that. Well, I like that too. AD 64, on this day in theory, a great fire of Rome. Two-thirds of Rome is destroyed. Emperor Nero blamed the obscure Jewish sect, the Christians, for the fire, which then began the Christian persecution, which then, of course, began the spread of the gospel throughout the world. So Only the Lord knows what the plans are.
Right. Wow.
Just remember that. Just remember, that persecution took the gospel to the four corners. Nice. Okay. 1968, the chip processor company Intel was founded. That's how we got all our electronic-y weird stuff. Also, 1976 on this day, Nadia Comaneci scored the first perfect 10 in the Olympic gymnastics.
Which country, Dave?
I think she was Russian, okay, or Romanian, or accent, whatever, or something. I don't
know. Gotcha.
I don't know where Nadia is from. Okay. If you guys know, you can text me. You don't have to call me on that one. All right, let me finish this real quickly. That's your trivia question. Let's finish out this teaching. This is really cool because it is important. We've covered the grace at a pretty good length, but I want to make sure not to miss this last little part, and that is this. In the end of the book of Galatians, chapter 2, the end of chapter 2, it says, I am not one of those who treats the grace of God as meaningless, for if we could be saved by keeping the law, then there was no need for Christ to die. In other words, if we could be saved by keeping the law, then there was no reason for Jesus to die in the first place. This is just a very logical, processional argument that Paul is making, theologically expounding. I mean, it's really one apologetic after another, and he's just saying, look, if the law had the ability to make a person right, then Jesus never had to die. That's his argument. But I like what he said, and I'd like you to back it up and think about this when he says, I'm not one of those who treats the grace of God as meaningless. And in this case, in this context, he's talking about those who treat it meaningless because they're trying to be overly legalistic. But there is another side to this coin, and that's those who operate under what we call greasy grace. That's right. I didn't make that word up. It's been around for a long time. Greasy grace is I can sin my brains out, just ask God to forgive me, and then I'll just be, everything will be right and roses, and I don't have to worry about it. That's greasy grace. That's treating the grace of God poorly. Paul didn't think it right to be mistreating the grace of God, not just from a legalistic point of view, but from a licentiousness point of view. It's not that you won't be forgiven. That's not what it says. But you can't abuse. You can't go, I'll do whatever I want. That's the same people that say, I'll send my brains out. At the very end, I'll say sorry. You know, it's like there's no end run here. There's no way to. You're not going to pull the Statue of Liberty play on God. Okay? You're not going to do a fake handoff and go the other direction and God's going to go, never saw it coming. Come on in. That's not happening. So there's a respect for the grace of God. There is an acknowledgement that you don't deserve the grace. The grace is given to you. But you don't abuse the grace either, do you? I mean, that's inappropriate. And so it's not just inappropriate. If Jesus is in your heart, you wouldn't want to. That's the ticket. So the people that go, well, I can do this, doesn't matter because I'm just going to do this and I'll just say sorry and da-da-da-da, they're willingly inside of them trying to abuse something that proves the grace of God is not in them. Ow. Dave, it was going so well. Now you're tagging. It's just being honest. The both sides of the coin, right? You can't be such a legalist that you make the grace of God ineffective, but you can't be such a liberalist that you make the grace of God ineffective. It's the same result, and both have the wrong attitude and spirit in them. I will say that at least the legalists are trying to do it. I mean, that's, I'll give you credit for that, which is probably why Paul went the direction he did. But the point is, you don't abuse it. The grace of God that's given to you is what? It's a gift. So you treat it with respect. You don't take a, you know, someone gives you a birthday gift, you don't drop kick it through the goalposts of life out in your backyard right in front. That's just so disrespectful. You don't do that. We don't do that with God's gift. So the idea behind this is for us to have a healthy respect and recognition. Look, Jesus, if there was any other way than the way that it happened, Jesus didn't have to die. But there wasn't any other way. It is through Jesus Christ. I know people are like, well, that's not fair because, listen, and this is one of the most important things. You think God is unfair? You're alive. You're already on borrowed time. So just stop. And number two, what you think, and this is, I say this with so much love. I really do. It breaks my heart to say it. What you think, it means nothing. What God says means something. Well, I don't like that. That's pride. Your ideology or your concepts was fantastic for you, but it doesn't mean anything in the scope of eternity. It's one of the hardest things to tell people when you're witnessing or sharing or just talking to people who are Christians. It's like, well, okay, that's, it's awesome that you have an opinion, but guess what? Your opinion in the annals of historical eternity means nothing, or in current eternity, or in future eternity. It doesn't mean a thing. Only God's declarations mean something. Everything else that's not eternal doesn't mean anything. It's like, it's so rude to say it, and I'm not trying to be rude. It's just like, well, that's a little more honest. So the idea is, okay, let's respect that which the Lord has done. He's done it for us. It's fantastic. Live in it. Enjoy it. Don't beat yourself up. I like what Deb texted in. Don't build a monument to your, you know, to your struggles or your failures. Don't put it on a pedestal. You put the Lord on a pedestal. You don't put anything else on a pedestal. But at the same time, don't abuse it by going, I can send my brains out and not care ever. Because that just proves the Holy Spirit's not in you. You know, it's one thing, and I will say this, and I'd like to really comment. It's one thing to struggle with a sin, and there's no sin that owns you to the point where you can't overcome it through the blood of Jesus Christ. There's none. The Lord may work with you for years and years on it. That's fine. But you, through Jesus Christ, do not owe that sin anything. Okay? That's all good. It's another thing to say, I'm gonna jip the system because I'm smarter than God.
And think about this, Dave. If you love something, you're not going to want to abuse it.
That's exactly. I mean, you want to appreciate, cherish, you know, in every other way, shape, and form. Okay. What king did the prophet Nathan advise? The answer is King David. I wasn't named after a king. In fact, truth be told, I might have been an accident. But not to God. And that's what counts the most, right? Okay. All right, folks, you've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the truth station here in Texas, taking a 22.5-hour break. Then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
The views expressed on the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsor.